Good morning, everyone. Well, almost afternoon. I'd like to thank my co-authors, Dr. Pena, she's my advisor, Dr. William Bryan, who is the manager of the organic farm at WVU, and Alex Strait, who was our lab technician and helped me analyze the data. International Federation of Organic Movement, also known as IFOM, defines its motto as a production system that sustains the health of soils, ecosystems, and people, that relies on ecological processes, biodiversity, and cycles adapted to local conditions rather than the use of inputs with adverse effects, and combines tradition, innovation, and science to benefit the shared environment and promote fair relationships and a good quality of life for all involved. IFOM became rapidly growing in 1990. As of 2007, organic products had reached an all-time high of $46 billion in profit and took up about 32.2 million hectares, which is a little less than 1% of total farmland. As you can see, in the U.S., there's a little over 2.5 million acres of organic farmland across the U.S. It's mainly distributed along the West Coast in Washington, Oregon, and California, in the Midwest of Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, and then over in Michigan and Ohio, and all over in the Northeast. However, in West Virginia, we only have 84 farms, which is a little over 2,100 acres. Many would debate whether organic agriculture sustains soil health. Relevant soil indicators that could argue either side are the dry aggregate stability, bulk density, penetration resistance, and organic matter content, which are the variables that we examined in our experiment. The WVU farm is located in Morgantown, West Virginia. It began in 1998 with the idea of a group of multidisciplinary researchers. The farm became certified in 2003 with the main focus of all crop aspects and a husbandry component. Here's an overlook of the farm. It goes long ways mainly, and the plots are diagonal to the picture. The crop management plan that we have uses a rotation system since we don't use pesticides and herbicides, which helps control the pests. Husbandry is used for weed control. Also, tillage is used to sustain the weed control and incorporate the compost that's added. And compost is the main source of fertilizer. Here's our plots. As you can tell, to the far left here is one of the recently tilled plots. To the right is one that was grazed, and this is one that's in our grassland system. The objective of our experiment was to determine the effects of compost level and the time under temporary grassland in organic crop rotation on the soil bulk density, the dry aggregate stability, the organic matter stratification, and the wet aggregate stability. We hypothesized that the compost will increase organic matter content but decrease the bulk density where it's been applied. And the longer that the plots are under a grassland, at the end of a crop rotation, that the aggregate stability will increase and the organic matter will have a vertical redistribution. The farm has a 7-year rotation system. And the components are: the first year of the rotation starts with potato and then soybean, followed by wheat and rape, which is to get all of the crop families in there, followed by a 3-year rest period, which they plant orchard grass and red clover. As you can tell, these are our plots across the farm. There's also some over here, but we mainly work over here. And the different soil types are the DeKalb, Dormant, and Guernsey, and Tilsit, which mainly the only effect it had on our plots was the slope. This is one of our grassland plots. This was taken early this spring after the orchard grass had grown all winter. We used drag aggregate stability to measure the geometric mean diameter, bulk density, organic matter at two different depths, the 0 to 5 centimeters and 5 to 15 centimeters. We also measured soil texture at 0 to 5 and wet aggregate stability. For our data, we used a 3x2 factorial with 3 reps, and our two factors that we measured was the year under grassland, which was year 5, year 6, and year 7 of the rotation, and the compost application, whether there was compost added to the plots or whether there wasn't. And then we used ANOVA to analyze the completely randomized block, and we used the Pearson correlation coefficients to come up with the numbers for our variables. The ANOVA showed that the compost treatment effect was significant for soil organic matter and the geometric mean diameter. As you can tell over time, the year 6 seemed to have the lowest values, so there was like a U-shaped curve for the organic matter and the bulk density. With compost, as you can see, compost really only had an effect on the carbon. Without compost, there really was higher bulk density and higher aggregates, larger aggregates rather. For organic carbon, as you can see, we've got our U-shaped. And in the first year seemed to have the highest organic carbon, which was probably the transition of the plots from crops to grassland, because after the last year of crops, there was no organic matter, any fertilizers or anything added to the plots. And then in the sixth year of the rotation, it seemed to lower and finish burning them off. And in 7, it just was beginning to come to an equilibrium. So you can tell the organic carbon in the second layer, 5 to 15 centimeters, followed the same trend. The organic carbon had a slight effect on the aggregate size, but it wasn't significant. The dry aggregate seemed to completely decrease once they reached 1% of organic carbon, and the wet aggregate seemed to increase up to about 3% and then slowly decrease. We also observed that the organic matter increased as clay content increased. In the clay content effect on aggregate size, there was definitely a steady increase in the clay content for the dry aggregates. And for wet aggregates, once it got above 30% organic matter or clay content, the aggregates seemed to decrease. In conclusion, the compost applied in the rotation increased organic matter content only at the soil surface. It wasn't significant in the second depth of 5 to 15 centimeters. The compost application decreased the bulk density, but this was only affected by the time that it was under the grassland. And this just further shows it, because with the low compost or no compost, it just slowly faded down to an equilibrium. Also, the clay content affected the average values of the geometric mean diameter. We also discovered that not all soil properties selected for our study were significantly affected by the factors that we studied, which were the years under temporary grassland and our compost application. There was significant effects, however, on our variables of organic matter and aggregate sizes. And in our organic rotation system compost application and the duration of the temporary grassland in a crop rotation did affect the soil quality. Are there any questions?